lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republica podcast.
Ladies and gents.
Hey.
Episode 108 of the Motorsport Republica podcast. How you going, Jamesy?
We're back. Yeah, just slowly surviving.
Yes. Big day for you. Big day for all of us. Bloody early wake up for the Coda Grand Prix.
4 hours sleep.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
Went down to Moorabbin at 5 a.m., met up with the boys in Marky Mark's factory.
Yeah, so what's Mark that? came with us on the Thailand trip, and he owns a factory down in Moorabbin, and the boys all go there for MotoGP nights, huh? Or mornings,
mornings
I should say.
And nights, bacon eggs this morning, some coffees. It was good.
It's a way to do it, man.
Amazing. And it's
good community as well, the bike people.
Yeah.
Half and half. The old school, the old school.
So, no, it was good to watch it, and we must have watched it pretty much on live, I reckon.
I reckon you're about 5 to 10 minutes off, because I said, are you watching this? When I saw Marquez running off the grid, and you're like, don't tell me anything.
Yeah.
And then, just all hell broke loose.
The pre-race stuff. Because I didn't realize that how Digiar cracked it at Morbidelli. You see that?
Tell me more. I didn't see this.
It was in all the pre-race stuff. Digiar, like Morbidelli pushed out Digiar in the sprint race.
Mm.
And he lost like four positions. And then after the race, they were like trying to shake hands. Digiar didn't want none of it. And I finally shook his hand and just ran straight into the pits like with a face of thunder, threw his helmet.
Shit.
And went straight out. Luckily, he made up for it and obviously got a podium
in the main
race. But
they both going really well, the VR46 boys.
Really well.
It's just
typical Morbidelli just punting someone off.
Yeah.
He's notorious for it now.
He is. He's got that sort of, I mean, with Quartararo in...
he's done it was a few it, times.
Yeah, where was it?
Indonesia?
Indonesia, you're right. Yeah, that last section. But yeah, I mean, it was just, we'll get on into it obviously, but just a wild... Sprint race was the race of the season for me. It was incredible, and I said to you on Sunday morning, I was like, "We got to like make a video of like a tight. It's better with the Titanic music because how Marquez high sided that bike, recovered it, then passes both Alex and Pecco into the next corner. Like he's just a magician, this guy.
The onboard footage is." Incredible because he, like, you see him light it up, it spits him out of the seat, and he's off the gas for like half a second, and then he's just right back on it. And then I just don't understand how he caught straight back up, and then made that pass. I think they both kind of, Alex and Pecco, kind of both run each other wide, and then he just cut in on the inside.
I just don't understand him. He's, and look, we posted a clip today, as you said, and he's, you know, he's a magician, and yeah, he made that. Made that 3 foot probably in the wrong spot on that curb in the race, which we'll get in a sec. We're getting excited, but just want to thank everyone, obviously with YouTube, like and subscribe. We've been building that, so it's been a really exciting thing for us as well. Guys, jump on Neiman.clothing for the website. Check out their stuff. They've been a big support from us for in the last couple of weeks. So
yep.
Get around them.
100%. Same with Motor Heaven.
As always.
They're amazing. The guys down there do an amazing job. Motorheaven.com.au.
Yes. And Patreon. We're going to have a new Patreon coming out during this week. So get involved with that. We're going to film that after this. So
that's going to be a monthly. It's going to be a recap of this month's racing. We're going to do it every end of every month.
Yeah, very excited. All right. Cool. Sprint race results. Let's get into that. So Mark Marquez, Alex Marquez. That became a, you know, five in a row, I suppose, wasn't it? So yep. Bagnaia hanging on to third place. Digiar fourth. Morbidelli fifth. Quartararo sixth. Acosta seventh. Marini eighth. Aguirre 9th, Bezzecchi 10th.
Boom. Bez, fraud watch.
He is. And then it all flipped for the main race. So Marquez leading probably what? Was there about 10 laps remaining, I would say?
Yeah, around about that.
And just took too much curb into that flowing first section and low side and just took the foot peg with him. I got sent a photo today by Bandana. He actually has a graze all down his arm and... all sorts of stuff. So, Bagnaia takes the W. Alex Marquez, Canet style, second. Digiar third. Morbidelli fourth. Jack Miller, top five.
Yeah, awesome.
Bezzecchi sixth. Harsh, James. Fraud watch. Bastianini seventh. Luca Marini 8th, Iaguro 9th, Cordero 10th. So Bastianini, look, that even a surprise for me. There's a lot of crashes.
I was going to say,
finishes. Yeah. So
a lot of crashes, man.
A lot of crashes.
And a lot of crashes in front of Bezzecchi.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, there's some talking points to that race, and then none more than Marquez. How'd you feel about the incident? I mean, just spillings. a bit of a brain fade.
Yeah. And he admitted it. It's a brain fade. Like, he just hit that curb. He was just too much on the inside on a damn track. Mm. Like, it's just, he made the mistake. He's clearly said that it was his mistake. That's racing. It's rough to see, because you know it's I love seeing domination, but that's his mistake. You got to own it. He owns it, and that's racing. It's just like I was watching it, waiting for it to happen though.
No way. See, I never saw that happening.
Yeah,
I was watching that racing, and he just got it all under control. Yeah. And those conditions were tricky, and obviously offline they still had some damn conditions, but. It was a crazy race in two halves. That start was just incredible. Mm. Him sprinting, because I remember seeing they had the background music, and I'm like, he's not on his bike. Why is he standing off his bike? And then just sprints off.
And he was playing it the whole time.
Playing it the whole time. In the last 10 minutes, because he could change his tires before the 6 minute mark, and he chose not to do it. But then it just dried out completely after that.
So. And then everyone followed him. Bagnaia followed him. I think Acosta ran in. Miller.
Alex Marquez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so what do you think of that? So Marini was pissed on the grid because he wanted to be, he was essentially on pole.
Yeah. And he had the slick tires on.
And he had slicks on.
Yeah.
So
they took the gamble.
Yeah.
Same with someone. And then they had one of the Pramac boys, I think. No, it was only, I don't think Miller was off the grid, was he? I thought he stayed on the grid.
Maybe it was Fernandez.
And then Vinales, for some reason, comes off the grid, then comes back on the grid with his wet bike. I was like, what the hell is going on?
And then
on?
He didn't have a bike.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on?
He's going to feature later on about that.
But a piece from Danby and then followed by a quote from Marquez, the most talented are all also the most intelligent. And that's what makes them great.
Yeah.
So he knew this was happening. So, you know, He knew he needed 10 riders to follow him because that was a regulation.
Mm.
If they all came off at once, he also needed 3 bikes had chosen the wet tires. So they in this scenario, he knew it was going to be red flag, delayed start. So Marquez says, within 7 minutes of remaining, I told the team there's no time to change the tires. They said no. So I said, okay, with 2 minutes remaining, I'll leave the grid. Everyone will follow me and it'll be a delayed start. That's what's going to happen. I was very clear about the regulations.
He knew it.
He knew all along this was going to happen. So for me, I think Boy Sawyer was on I think the coverage, and he was saying, it's ridiculous. I mean, we took the gamble. And it's a fair enough thing.
Yeah, it's definitely fair enough.
And I was thinking, you know what? In that regulation, I'm thinking double long lap for every rider that jumped off the grid within the 2 minute mark. But it did cause chaos. Your bike's still there.
But if you're allowed to do it, and what, do you start a pit lane or the back of the grid?
Well, the thing is, this is what was the confusing part.
This is so MotoGP. This conversation is so MotoGP.
Because it went through my head so many times. I'm like, do you let them out and let them go to the back of the grid? But there will be not enough grid spots. So then they'll all have to start from the pit lane, which just causes chaos.
Which we've seen before in Sachsenring.
Yeah, which we've seen before in Sachsenring. It works with Formula One because you have to go in single file.
Yeah.
But in MotoGP, you can just go up the inside and do whatever you want.
2015, 2016 or something, 2014 maybe. Remember, most of the field started from pit lane in similar conditions. And that's what led to Argentina.
Yes.
When Jack Miller was on the front row, and then everyone else was like 5 rows back. Those ridiculous scenes ever.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just imploded into whatever that
they didn't
was.
Want a repeat of that Dorna, by the sounds of things. Yeah. So delaying the start, letting everyone change it was a better spectacle for the average viewer. But in saying that, I really wanted to see this.
Same.
You know, because you could have had I wanted to see a flag to flag.
Yeah.
That was going to be super exciting. But MotoGP, it doesn't need rain to make it exciting.
No.
But flag to flag is always...
it's exciting.
We haven't had one for a while either. We haven't had one since 2020... Well, technically 2020... technically, we actually had one last year in San Marino, but it was only Martin who pitted. So you could say it's a flag to flag, but technically
that was,
you know, you're probably not. And then before that would have been Japan, I would say, in 23.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, when
it always rains.
Was it Salvadori out? Did he stay out on the wet tires and everyone else came in or something?
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of those test riders. Maybe it was Pirro. And so it had some excitement. It had something different. I was checking the betting and I'm like, oh, because I thought Jack Miller, Brad Binder, this would be a good bet. All suspended. So
Tommy, oh, really?
Yeah, Tommy's tips was going to be alive and well, but...
Spilling. But yeah, just it was a dumb mistake. But credit to Pecco Bagnaia. Stayed on the bike.
Yeah.
Passed Alex Marquez, managed the lead. And he never looked like he was going to crash. And he was there. He was there to take the win. Like, it's he needed that desperately.
Yeah.
It's great for the championship. Alex Marquez is leading the championship now.
By one point. And Bag's only 11 points behind.
Yeah, he's only 11 points. It's great for the championship. It's great for us. And it's great for Bagnaia to get that win in Marc Marquez's backyard. So, honestly, good on him. Like, you know, it's been interesting watching him acclimatize to Marc Marquez, you know, winning the first five. Yeah. But he always just seems to be in the hunt no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and
he was there then and he picked up the pieces.
How's the sprint race?
Yeah.
Starting six, puts on the inside
that first
and
corner.
Leads the first corner. Like, nobody else, maybe like a, you know, a Brad Binder does that like every now and then, but Bagnaia would never go back from the start.
He always goes forward.
Yeah. Yeah. I know he had some issues late last year with starting because he kept losing the rear end and stuff, but he's always so good off the start. Amazing. It's such a big thing. Nowadays, like, how big is it? How important is it so to start important. Well?
It's from sixth on that inside to then go up the side, up in the inside of Marc Marquez, and Alex Marquez was wild in that sprint race. So,
yeah.
He's obviously found his mojo back a little bit. It was obviously due to Marc Marquez's fault. Like, but we said this from the start. That's racing, and biggest enemy for Marc Marquez is himself.
Yeah.
And that's clearly what it is. If it was a dry race, I think Marquez still would have won.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's still prone to... He's still human.
He still lets them just have a little in, you know.
He's just like that. He's like Helmut Marko. He always just leaves the door ajar, you know.
That's a good one. We'll talk about that later. but yeah, it's... he always just... Yeah, he's just... That's good. It's exciting.
It's great.
And look, and I think if we were sitting here and we called it last week, we said... Look, he's going to win by a country mile. It didn't end up happening.
We signed off our last episode saying congratulations to Marc Marquez. I was laughing about that on the way home today.
Yeah, we got a few messages this morning about that. So it was hilarious. but yeah, all honesty, it is a good thing for the championship. And I was talking to Danby today. And he goes, Marquez still dominate and whatever. It's not going to change a thing. But it is. It's good for viewership and people get more excited. Because if the person who's not watching it every weekend will go, there's a championship fight. It makes it more interesting for everyone.
100%. And it's good to see. Like, I'm a Bagnaia fan. I really am. And it's I'm a Marquez fan as well. But it's great to see him win and have a tight championship. Yeah. And like, I still feel sorry for Alex Marquez. The dude's leading the title. And we're still only talking about Marc Marquez or Pecco Bagnaia.
True.
He's, you know, his worst result's third.
And you know what? I was listening to the coverage. He's a Moto3 world champion, Moto2 world champion. He's got the talent.
Where do you see... When do you ever see this, though, where a rider or even a driver, probably more to a rider, comes in, just say... I can't remember when his first years were. Maybe 2017, something like that, 2018. I could be butchering
He's
that.
Been there for a while.
He's been in there for a while, has done nothing, and then in like his sixth season or fifth season, whatever it is, when does that ever happen?
It doesn't happen.
So, Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay, right, you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV, or controversially like a Nakagami Arai. What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want. Brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom, but that is the they are the best in the business. Head down to motorheaven.com.au and they will look after you.
It doesn't happen. And we say this a lot. If you haven't got it in the first 2 or 3 seasons, you're never going to have it.
Yeah, for sure.
He's shown signs, sprint wins, podium, that sort of thing, but not consistently up there, podium, every single race for the first 3 rounds.
He was on a Honda. I don't think I really saw any signs, maybe 1 or 2, but really nothing on the Honda. Mm. And obviously, we now know the Honda's a dog, and it was built for, you know, Marc Marquez, yeah, which is fine. But it was only when he went to Cristini Ducati, we're like, oh, whoa, you know, is this the Alex Marquez we should be expecting? Then he starts obviously getting podiums and sprint podiums or whatever. But he was still a yo-yo. But now, and that was the thing with Alex Marquez, you know, he could come third or he could be 14th. You just wouldn't know what you would get. And now, like, he goes to Coda and has had a terrible track record here and then bangs out a second and a third. Yeah. And he's leading the championship.
And beating Bagnaia. Because I thought coming into the season, you got 6 Ducatis, probably right off a couple of them, Aldeguer and, you know, maybe we're rating Morbidelli this year, but maybe Aldeguer.
I wrote off Morbidelli.
Yeah, but for me, like, if the Ducati is that good, and we know it is that good, he should be finishing 4th, 5th, and 4th. But if he's consistently beating Bagnaia, that's the big difference.
That's the big difference. And there was a massive gap between the 23 and 24, where the 24 to 25 or the 24.9, whatever you want to call it, is a much smaller gap.
Yeah, much smaller gap. But Bagnaia, 2-time world champion, should be consistently smashing him. Let's be honest. Yeah. Like, should be.
Should be.
But he's not.
Yeah, and I think that's down to the bike, and I just...
But we'll see.
I don't know. I don't know, because I just don't understand how you can just have this massive amount of improvement in an off-season.
There's lots of talking points through the whole field. And, like, you look at that race, you have Aldeguer up there crashes.
He had a great race.
Great race. Like, the late race pace was amazing. He was 1/10 off the lap, the fastest lap on like 15 lap old tires. So he was doing awesome.
He's aggressive.
Zarco crashed.
Yeah.
In the top 5. I mean, the KTM had a shocker on paper, but actually looked slightly better in race pace.
Only because it was mixed conditions, but.
True. But, you know.
I'm harsh on KTM.
Of course, we all are. And like the comments on MotoGP. God,
what do you mean?
KTM just getting crucified. Keep taking money is what it stands for. KTM. Yeah.
That's been around for a long time.
Oh, dude. Time. Like, it was like crazy. Because I was looking at the comments of Vinales running off with his hands going, "Where's my bike? Where's my bike?" And
impersonation.
He doesn't matter what we do. We can't, you know.
He's not going to see it.
So for me, look, I think it was a better signs. Honda up there. Miller finishing 5th. I mean, there was so many different results for the whole race.
Yeah.
And even in the sprint race to a certain extent. I mean,
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. The first 3 in the main race I'm talking was, it just take Marquez out of it.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, that's a 4. It was boring. Mm. Let's be honest. But that mid-pack battle,
yeah,
you didn't know what was happening. Going down. Morbidelli was up there.
And a lot of passing. A lot of passing. That's what we didn't get in the first 2 Grand Prix. It was stagnant. Really stagnant in all 4 races. So it was really encouraging and exciting about that.
Do you think MotoGP is in a healthier spot than what it was 2, 3 years ago?
That's
a good question.
It's a great question. For me, 2 or 3 years ago, like I'm saying 2 years ago, you had, or 3 years ago, you had Bagnaia really with not a lot of competition.
You probably had young competition.
Yeah. Yeah, but he was the outstanding favorite. Now we got. I think as much as these Rossi fans and Bagnaia fans, Marquez is good for the sport.
Man, we're getting crucified on our... I know. It's hilarious.
Look, we got... Look, everyone.
No, they don't see it. They're blinded.
I was going to wear my Rossi tee today, but I thought, I got to keep it on factory. Because we've got a photo shoot later, so yeah. I had to look on fact. But guys, we are neutral as. We respect the domination in any of the sports. Yeah. And we've talked about this. As you get older, you realize, you go, my God, 7-time world champion Lewis Hamilton. I hated Hamilton. Hate him. I still hate him. But you appreciate it now. He dominated. This guy is so talented. Marquez, I mean, the championship that he won, what he's come back from, is just incredible. So you just have to appreciate it.
You got to respect it. Like, you got to respect all those riders for what they do and what they put themselves through. And that's the same with Mark. Like, he's gone through hell and back. Mm. And, you know, they say it's funny, we get copping it, they're all Rossi fans. But we can't talk about Valentino because he's not racing. If he was racing, we'll talk about it.
And I don't even go watch it anymore because there's no Valentino Rossi.
It's hilarious.
But as Matt Burt said on the coverage, MotoGP, never say never, expect the unexpected. And that was this weekend.
Yep. It's just mixed conditions. I love mixed conditions. And it always just throws up a wacky result. But it was good to see... Digi are up there again. He's obviously healing. I think it was a collarbone.
Yeah, I chucked him in I had him in there, and I was happy for the tipping comp that James and I have gone head to head with. I was actually happy that Marquez crashed because I put Alex Marquez up one and then Digi up one. So it went from a DNF to a big turnaround. Not a DNF. Well, Marquez would have got us both points, but
yeah.
But it was a little bit of a... A little bit of a fist for that one.
A bit of a gotcha.
But yeah, I was singing, watching all the coverage over the whole weekend, and a wet lap around Kota must just be exhausting. I mean, it's such a long circuit. I mean, those boys in Moto2 were doing 2:30s and like just, and I think Senna, because he chose the slick tire. We'll get into Moto2 later. I'm sorry, but he was doing like 2:50s. I mean, it's just exhausting. Imagine doing that.
You made a really good point. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before with Coda. It's hard. You can't get a perfect lap in. There's always room something. For improvement.
There is.
Name another MotoGP circuit where you see riders consistently go off a corner like they do. I think it's turn 12 for them. At the end of the back straight, they always run wide. Yeah, name running. Another circuit where they're running wide consistently.
You're right.
That corner, and I wrote this down, is I personally think would be one of the scariest in the calendar. Because you're going from 300 and...
Well, it's 360 to 60. That's what they say. Yeah, you break 300 kilometers.
It is...
And...
And you see them, they all get out of shape in there. They're all fighting the bikes.
Yeah. And one little thing, like one little lock of the brake, one little too much on the front wheel, you're off.
Or you have a mechanical, which is even scarier.
Mm.
How's Marquez riding around without a peg? Do you know how hard... You talk about exhausting.
He was doing 207s without a peg, which is crazy. Because the amount... And like, I'm not an experienced rider, nor is James, but they say pushing off the peg... through corners and everything is like the one of the main things you have to do. Even in riding around town, like pushing off the peg, getting your weight, you know, over and over is, I was so disappointed because I would have liked to see him come through the field.
Yeah.
But I saw a piece come off the bike. I go, that's a foot peg.
Yeah.
100%.
It was
either a foot peg or a chain that was coming off. So
it was funny because as soon as he got passed by Chantra, and he was basically running the same lap times as Chantra, we're like, he's just got to pack it. He's got to pack it in now. There's no point. And then he goes straight into the pits.
Yeah.
He saw Chantra go past. He's like, oh, I'm done.
Well, Salvadori out. I got a point. 15th he was.
Oh,
and
true.
And Chantra was 16th. So yeah, that tells you something, doesn't it?
I got a B in my bonnet about Bezzecchi. I don't think he's living up to the hype. And like people saying, well, he got six, but he had five riders crash in front of him and he's on a factory Aprilia.
Mm.
You're going to be fighting for podiums.
Yeah, I mean, you could compare him to Aiguru, finished, was it ninth in the end?
Rookie.
Rookie, first time at the circuit and also mixed conditions. You can't... Two completely different things.
Furman was quicker than him?
Yeah.
Yep. Rookie?
Yeah. It is unbelievable. And something that I probably didn't realize, and it's more, I think, the problem is, I think it's more expected now. Yeah. Like you're watching, you don't expect him to be top five or top six.
I was really hoping he was going to, but like he's crashed that many times this year. He's got to be feeling a pinch soon. And he has to be on fraud watch as well because of that.
The best thing for him was Martin injuring himself because he's got no one to compare to in that team. Mm. If Martin was up there podium and he was finishing 10th and 9th and 10th and stuff, he'll be the biggest talking point or one of, you know.
Fraudulent behavior as well because he was quick in testing.
He's fraud watch. Yeah, yeah. He's definitely fraud watch.
Yeah, no.
It was fraud watch from the first Grand Prix because I had him for the win from memory.
Yeah, you did. You even told him you had him for the win.
I did.
Back in Thailand.
I did.
So I think for him, if you're on a factory pulley, you're going to be fighting for podiums. You're going to be top five just about every race.
Yeah.
Because you're fighting three factory Ducatis. That's it. So there's two more spots.
Mm.
And the Aprilia's next best bike on paper.
For me, the VR46 team are there or thereabouts and will get stronger and stronger through the year, I reckon, because they are always... They've probably been one of the most consistent apart from factory Ducati. They've always been fourth, fifth. And now
Digi is injured.
But now he's back. I think, I'm really liking their chances.
They're doing great. And we picked that from the start. Yeah. We said they had a real strong side.
We did. Yeah. Yep. Morbidelli going well. Digia, as long as I don't have in-team fighting, which we want to see anyway. That's going to be a really exciting mid-pack battle this year.
Mm.
And that's the...
And could be fighting for podiums. I think they will be fighting for podiums. You know, just as... Digia, I think, is going to be up there for Qatar.
Now, I had a funny conversation with a fan today. Miller, soft tire gamble finally works. He put the rear... He was the only rider in the top 10. Put the soft rear on. He made it to the end of the race, top five. Yes. After 777 chances with the soft rear, he's finally done it. The gamble paid off, James.
Top five. You got it.
And hang on. It shows you this Yamaha is going to suit him. It really is.
He's a top performing Yamaha rider.
He is. And everyone comments... Oh, God, Miller at the factory team next year. I don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening.
But everyone's calling it. Everyone's calling
it. Well, he's adapted to the Yamaha better than anyone would have thought. And unfortunately, Rins just isn't cut out for it.
He's cooked. Mentally, physically done, I think. And as harsh as it sounds, but it's MotoGP. It's the premier, you know, motorcycle.
And, you know, you get injured.
It is. And he's from week to week, they say he's getting better and better, but you know, he's won twice at that circuit and he did nothing all weekend. So if he was going to do anything, it was going to be at Kota.
Yeah, and it's not traditionally a Yamaha track, we all know that.
Mm.
Kevin Swantz obviously helped. I was watching practice, he helped design a lot of that track.
They were saying that in practice, wasn't it? Yeah, that was really interesting.
So the inside of this is just like such T-Shav facts right now. You're normally telling me this.
Go on.
The inside, that little stadium section, is supposed to, you know, in a way, be like Hockenheim.
Oh, yeah. I see that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's what Kevin Swantz loved. He loved that stadium section in Hockenheim.
It's a great stadium section in Hockenheim.
Great circuit. Underrated circuit.
And then the S's are supposed to be like Suzuka, the first sector.
Yeah.
Great circuit. And it's really developed into a great motorcycle circuit. It really has.
I'm a massive fan of Coda. I definitely think it should stay. I was disappointed, and I'm sorry to the American listeners and viewers.
Mm.
The crowd sucked. I know it's shit weather. I get it.
I don't think it matters. I think it was really disappointing, wasn't it?
Sucks.
Because you go to you see F1 there, and they're like 35 rows back on that hill.
And it's hard. You can't compare it to that.
I get it.
But like, at least fill up some grandstands.
Yeah.
The main straight grandstands.
Yeah, it was really disappointing because in that area of America, there's really only that Grand Prix. So if you're coming from anywhere in that vicinity, like you make the trip. You really do make the trip. So it was super disappointing. But hopefully Liberty Media taking over. Obviously, a lot of people think that's a negative thing, but you've seen what's happened in other sports. I mean, you're getting a marketing team to market this sport. It's the best racing in the world.
Mm.
It just needs to be brought out to more people.
Do you think the ship sailed on all those shows though?
Bro, I know what you're saying, but
because there's so much of that out there.
I know
now.
But they just like they sell out. The last 3 years they've sold out the F1 in Australia quicker than the year before. Everywhere, every race is sold out.
F1's the one because it was the catalyst. It was the first sport to do it.
Yeah, there are a lot of sports. Like golf, one I really enjoy. Full Swing on Netflix.
But you like golf.
Yes.
Does that bring new people into golf though?
Possibly.
That's what F1 did.
Not the little teeny bopper F1 fans though.
Yeah.
Not the little teeny bopper, but like it's...
F1, I think, is just its own thing. And yeah. I actually think... you just need a big American rider. You need another Nicky Hayden.
Yeah. So you reckon if there was an American rider in that field, in the MotoGP field,
it needs to be.
You reckon the crowd would be significantly better?
Yeah. It's like Australia's the exact same.
Yeah.
We're the exact same. When Casey Stoner was there, we had 40,000 more people at Phillip Island over the weekend.
Yeah.
We had 120,000 instead of 80.
Yeah. It's significantly different.
Yeah.
Do you know what the crowd figure was for the weekend?
No. But I just eyeballed it as I do with everything, shoot from the hip, and it was
well. One of the grandstands was like half built. It was
I noticed that
they must take half for down, like for the year, and then put it back up for F1 or something along the lines of that.
Yeah,
but the NASCAR, they have NASCAR there, and they have a massive crowd. So I mean,
that makes sense.
It makes sense. I hope that gets better over the. I mean, MotoGP, it's such a spectacle, and we just hope that it gets better for them over the next few years in the States. It needs to be more popular, so.
Yeah, it's such a massive market.
What about Laguna Seca? Did that have a big crowd?
Yeah, it always had a big crowd, but the difference was COTA is such a massive venue, so it's very spread out. So it actually could be the same amount of people, but Laguna Seca was so jam-packed in. It didn't have massive grandstands. You know, there wasn't... The viewpoints there, I don't think, were that great. You know, there's people standing on the side of the hill for the corkscrew, which would be amazing.
I actually
don't think for viewing it's that great unless they built more grandstands.
To be honest with you, some of the viewing spots at COTA looked mint. Like, there was a spot, I'm not sure where it was. Maybe there's that, the yeses, and then there's that quick left-hander, and there's a hill on the right-hand side. There would have been 10 people on that hill, and you just get like a picnic blanket, you sit there all day, you'd have
a
fucking ball. Like, you'd have such a good time.
For sure.
And you
could see a lot of the circuit.
Oh, yeah. You could see them coming up, down, then that quick left hand. I love that corner after the S's. Love it. And and who crashed in there? It was Moto2, and the bike just went sailing into the fence. Like, they go, like, you could tell. I reckon there was a few bikes that hit the air fence. And I find if you're going to an F1 circuit, that happens more often. Because they're not expecting cars to go in there, but bikes go in there. I just got a bit of a theory about that.
Interesting.
Bit of a T-shirt. But I saw there was probably 3 or 4 bikes over the weekend that went to the air fence. So like similar to Sachsenring. It's sort of close into some spots, but such a big facility. I mean, I just hope to see big crowds.
I think you just need some American riders in there, in MotoGP.
Well, I don't think we've got any hope, to be honest.
Well, all I know is because Kevin Swanson was talking about this, and I've known this before. Wayne Rainey's got his little Moto America Junior Cup Series, and I think there's like 15, 16 entries in there to then feed them over to Europe, and that's what they need. You got to cut your teeth in Europe. It's the same as Australia. It's the same principle, but America's got $1 trillion more than us that they could spend it if they really wanted to. Their motorcycle market's huge compared to us.
Mr. Juan Mir nearly got away with it, but two low sides in the sprint in the main race. Let's in the top 10. Fuck. That's so unfortunate. And Harry. Harry from Conda. He's done it again. He's in the top 10 this time. This isn't for fun anymore. This is serious, you know, like he's and it's all in that corner, that intersection where that Hockenheim you're talking about, that left-hander, trail braking while turning, it caught a lot of them out over the weekend, but...
The difference is there's a light at the end of the tunnel now.
There is, yeah.
There is. Like, there is. When Wami was crashing last year, he was crashing for fun.
Yes.
And
he had enough. He just wanted to go home.
He wanted to go home. Go back in the trailer and I've gone out.
Glock 5000.
Yeah. But now you can tell the bike's obviously more rideable and he's probably pushing it more and more and more.
Yeah.
And it's just it's gonna come off the territory. It's nowhere near as bad as what it was, and it's fine, I'll take that. Obviously, he's going to be pissed off about it. Zarco went down. It was mixed conditions. But even maybe going into a more flowy track, you know, hard braking for that Honda obviously seems to be its kryptonite.
Yes, yeah, yeah, good call. I think
trail braking.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But they've got some sort of package together.
They've got something.
Everyone's got
better than Yamaha and KTM.
Everyone's got some light at the end of the tunnel. So
not KTM. KTM's
nah, they're all right.
They're not all right. What's going on for Costa? Is he going? I think he's already gone.
But bro, you know what? He's riding terribly as well. He's overriding that bike something bad. He in the sprint was trying stupid lines. He was overcompensating the bike. He needs to settle down. He just needs to settle down and get a good result. Like, it's yes, I understand how frustrated he is. I understand the future's uncertain and all that kind of stuff. But he was just riding like an immature, you know, Moto 3 rider. And I was, and yes, and I get the argument, you know, he wants out, but, you know, you just got to put the results in. He's crashed in all three races now.
But I think the bike, it's not giving him anything.
I know, but
Marquez was doing the same.
I know, but you just got to put in a better result. Like,
but okay, do you go for 6th place, 5th place and crash, or do you take 13th?
Yeah, but he's not. He's starting. He started. What did he start? 4th, and then just ran wide, and then pushed someone out, and then was down to a 10th. And I'm just like, you just
qualifying's a lot different to race.
Of course, pace. I understand all that, but he went backwards in the race. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, he just didn't hold position.
I don't think he can though. That's what I'm saying. Like, is he? Are you better off crashing to try and stay in 6th or 5th, or take 13th and get 2 points?
No, I think that's an unfair comparison. I think it's more probably 6th to 10th would be. I'd rather take 10th than crash and try to go for 6th.
Mm.
If it's different, it's a podium. But like, just finish the race, man. Like, finish it. You need more and more. Like, you're learning all the time. You're only new to this. Like, you need to finish. He hasn't finished any of the races.
I still think his talent is unbelievable, and I'm not in that camp at all, because it's like the Liam Lawson thing. He hasn't lost his mojo in 6 months. It's not the case. Yeah. We all know that's not the case. Look at Jack Miller, how much he's doing on a Yamaha.
Yeah,
there's the barometer.
Don't know. Fraud watch, I reckon.
Oh, harsh. I like the difference of opinions, though.
I don't know. Like, he didn't do much in the last... I know he's so new, but he didn't show that much in the second half of last year.
He's a rookie.
He's done nothing in the first three rounds.
But there were also $3 billion in the hole.
It doesn't matter. It's not his bank account.
$3 billion. Why isn't Elon Musk just buying out? Seriously.
Yeah. I was Brett Binder. I mean, Binder hasn't shown much either.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, the barometer is jacked.
Bastianini finished 7th. So if he just stayed on the bike, he would have got a top 5 probably, or 6th.
True.
So there's your 6th place, just to stay on the bike. So we obviously, no one thought there was going to be this many crashes, 5 or 6 crashes.
In mixed conditions.
That's your go-to tonight. Yeah, mixed conditions.
True.
It's mixed true. Conditions.
True.
No, I don't know. If I'm Ducati, I'm looking at him like he's crashing all three races.
Are you serious? He wouldn't take Pedro Acosta.
No, I'll take him. I'm taking him, 100%. I'm taking him. But am I dropping a...
Go on, tell me. Who are you going to drop?
Am I dropping a...
This is a good question.
Yeah. Am I destroying a Digia's career, or getting rid of Digia to have him on at the moment? Don't know.
I'd probably take Morbidelli.
Well, yeah. Morbidelli is probably the obvious choice. But yeah. Morbidelli might surprise you and come out and win a race in the next few rounds.
I think it would be harsh on any of those riders on Ducati. I think they all deserve to be on a Ducati. Amazing. After all their performances.
Aldeguer is like 180 on Aldeguer from one performance and he crashed.
It's crazy. But you got to give him time. That's fair. You can't do a Liam Lawson.
No.
But
no, you won't do a Helmut Marko, we call that. Yeah. Trademarked.
But this is such a crazy hypothetical we're talking about. But I think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to a Ducati. Or he's going to a different manufacturer. You know, Honda is going to open the checkbook for him.
Mm. God, imagine him on a Honda. He'd be bloody...
I wouldn't be surprised.
Him and me would be low side in every bloody second corner.
Well, Zarco wants to go on the factory seat.
Is that what he's come out and said? Really?
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
But both Mir and Marini are actually performing quite well. So.
They're doing actually quite well. Marini got like a 9th or a 10th.
Yeah, out of fucking 15. Jesus.
See, you just contradicted yourself so hard just then.
All right. You got anything else on Moto2? Moto3, my boy? MotoGP.
You're right. Yeah, I do. I definitely do. L of the week. A new segment.
Oh, L of the week.
Our loser of the week. Has to be Maverick Vinales.
Yeah.
So tell me what happened, because I'm clear, but I'm not clear on what happened on fraud situation. So everything went down. Marquez went running back to the pits. He stayed on his bike.
No, okay. I'll explain. And I still... I have rusty thoughts about what happened as well. So he's gone...
Sorry, I'm going to cut you off real quickly.
Yeah.
At the end of all this, he somehow ended up on the grid without a bike.
So he runs with Marquez. He runs off.
Hot-headed.
He runs off and then they pull the bike off. Okay? This is what happens. They pull the bike off with the wet tires. So they're pulling the bike off. He runs back on the grid. Probably they haven't got the... KTM probably haven't got the bike ready. They haven't even slicked tires on the bike. He runs back on. Fuck, where's my bike? He's like this. And then they wheel the bike back out onto the grid. And then it gets red flagged. Then the quick start procedure happens. He comes up, does the thing, comes up, does a lap. Bike just stalls. And then they got
to
pull the bike.
He forgot to hold the clutch in.
So the bike got pulled off the grid twice. Before he started it. Oh. It would only happen to that man. I mean, you just can't write about it, could you?
Do you reckon he's like in the pit garage or when he stalled his bike just thinking, fuck, Motorsport Republic, they're already lined you up on Fraud Watch again.
But you know what? This is the craziest part of this whole scenario. All the comments on that video today where they put the video up of what happened, KTM, crap bike. KTM stole it on the grid. KTM, terrible. I'm like, come on. Like,
got any right or error at some point.
Like, where do you put the blame? I mean, geez, just the unorganization. It's laughable. I couldn't believe it. And I don't know what happened as in, I don't know if, I mean, you'd surely think that the second bike would be set up, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe they had...
Like, God, it's mixed conditions. It was a drying track.
So I don't know why they're wheeling the bike back on the grid. Like, that's probably the worst thing you do. The race was about to start.
Well, I think maybe Maverick wasn't clear on what was happening. He just took off. Like, you got to have some type of communication with your team.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what... And I don't know if they thought, oh, we're going to get a penalty, so let's put the bike back on. But, like, that's just going to cause more problems. But, yeah, that whole scenario was just so, like, Dorner. Yeah. And realistically,
not Dorna. Is it Dorna? Is it?
Sorry. Oh my God, Fran. Yeah, Fran. Yeah, it's F-I-M, not Dorna. F-I-M. Sorry. F-I-M. Fran's going to kill us. Fran Frankosham. She's going to kill us. No, F-I-M. Yeah. F-I-M. Sorry. I didn't make the rules. Not Dorna.
Nah, Dorna. Dorna, no. Cool.
Dorna just have to abide by the rules. F-I-M create the rules. So we have apologies for that. We got buddy
scolded
by Fran at the media center in regards to that, which is awesome because she listens, so that's the main thing. So yeah, but yeah, Maverick Vinales, one of one, like, no one else is like that guy, is he? That's L of the week.
Yeah,
might get a new name for that segment, I reckon. I don't like that one, but that's all right.
Maybe we call it the Vinales of the week.
And our performance of the week, we'll wait for Moto3.
Yeah,
because it will go hand in hand.
Yes, but that's all I got.
Beautiful. All right, let me bring up some Moto 2 results.
Dun, dun, get it going, dun.
So, mate, I think is J.E. Dixon a championship contender? I mean, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, 100%.
Jake Dixon, after he's the biggest win ever in Argentina by time. He won by the biggest margin ever in Argentina last week.
Yep.
In Moto2 history.
Yeah.
He won again this week. So, Jake Dixon. Jimmy, let's talk protection. Because what you wear actually matters in a crash. Nemium armored leggings have a 3-star impact protection, 4-star comfort, and the thinnest CE level 2 armor available. More protection, less bulk.
Tommy, one of the many reasons I love this product is because of the comfort. You can wear these Nemium leggings underneath, like, your jeans, your normal chino pants, mate. When I'm riding, I don't want to be dressed up like a stiff motorcycle rider wearing leather everywhere. I want to be wearing my normal jeans, getting a coffee, whatever, looking cool. I love how these leggings just go under everything seamlessly and you just fit in with the normal crowd.
I mean, there's no overheating, there's no stiffness, and look, we really believe in this product.
Yep.
It's MotoCap tested. It's proven to have a 5.42 second slide time. These things are very, very hard to get in this industry. Serious riders wear Nemium. Upgrade your ride at Nemium.clothing.
I love it. And use code NEMIUMREPUBLICA for 10% off.
Now back to the podcast. Toby Arnolino was happy to get off those.
Your boy.
He was happy to get off the slicks. He wanted wets. He's got the tyres ruining. Even new tyres are ruining his head. Alonso Lopez, third. Smart ride by him.
Yeah.
Really smart ride. He looked like he was going to just put it down the road the first half of the race the whole time and then just took third. I think that was very, Ana Costa-like of him. Aaron Canet, fourth. Izan Guevara, fifth. Ivan Ortola, sixth. Barry Bottas, seventh. Daniel Ricciardo, eighth. Mario Agi, ninth.
Yeah, Thai, Indonesian, right?
Yeah, Idemitsu.
First top 10.
Awesome. That's awesome. And Colin Vaya, 10th.
We love Thai.
Colin Vaya, great. Awesome. Great. Yeah, true. 10th place. Yeah, in the wet. I mean, those guys wouldn't have had much time, much running in the wet. And then David Alonso, special mention, starting sixth on the grid, end up on 14th. Yeah. So he had a shocking first lap, lost 10 spots, and then sort of held his position from there.
And then hard work for Manu and Senna and a couple of other riders. I don't know why
they do this. These teams both do the same strategy. It's just stupid. I don't understand it. Why both go... Put one on slicks and one on wets. I just don't understand that. It happens time and time again. You just ruin your whole weekend.
Mm.
Like if Senna finished fourth... Or vice versa. Like, it's such a better result than having both on the same...
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
I just don't get it. I just don't get that.
They had a crack and it just obviously didn't pay off.
It was wet, man. That back straight was like...
Well, yeah, you're right. But it was hard. It felt like 50-50 at some points.
The
back straight, well, you're right.
It was so wet.
Soaked. But then, like, the front straight was almost dry.
Yeah.
The Hockenheim stadium section, they were calling it, was dry.
Go on. No, I was just saying back to Jake Dixon. I mean, utter domination again and has to be a title contender.
Yeah, clearly.
And again, that's another rider that's been in the game for a long time and has shown sparks of results. And the last 2 years, he's had some wins and,
Bro, this is the ultimate non-European cock teaser.
Oh, he's called it.
I'm calling it.
Yeah, true.
This is true. Like when a rider just comes out, has some good wins. I understand it in Moto2, more Moto2, I reckon.
Yeah.
And they get to Jerez and then the Spanish and the Italians come floating through.
Yeah, it's a good point. So it's about how Furman's on a MotoGP bike. Aldeguer's on a MotoGP bike.
Yeah.
So, and to a certain extent, some other riders.
He's definitely a title contender at the moment, but I would be waiting to Mugello. If he wins a race or two, he's on. He's on a good team to do it.
Celestino Vietti, I don't think I've ever seen that. Double crash. So he crashed turn 12, picked up the bike, then crashed turn 13. Never seen it. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, his mind was just jumbled.
Oh my god, it just like horrendous. I mean, I was thinking to myself, I don't know what happened. His
tires would be cooked.
Tires, but he was podium contender. He was looking pretty good, and then it just fell off a cliff, and then double crash. Never seen anything like that. It
wasn't an amazing race.
No, that category doesn't need rain to spice things up. At all.
I don't think it needs it. I think it needs
Moto2,
to be
Moto
dry.
Moto 3 doesn't need rain at all.
Moto 3, no way. It if anything, it did. It hurt the racing of both categories of rain. If I see rain for Moto 3, it sucks.
Yeah.
And Moto 2.
Yeah, because
it spreads the field out too much.
Yeah, I mean, Moto 3 was fully in the dry, wasn't it? And then it just started raining in between Moto 3 and Moto 2 and then sort of stopped and then started again half an hour before the main race. So... tricky conditions.
It was just tricky conditions for both.
So what's that in? So Coda is in spring at the moment.
Well, what are we?
End of winter.
We're autumn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they must be in spring.
So yeah, they're going into their summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the weather.
It could, but it still seemed warm there because people were in t-shirts.
Yeah. Is it a hot, like is Austin hot? Like does it get... Probably like Melbourne, I suppose.
I think
weather.
It gets really hot.
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't snow or anything.
They had the crop. I know Austin or places in Texas has like had like freak snowstorms.
Yeah. Okay.
But I don't think it's like traditionally does.
Yeah. No. Yeah, but not the greatest race. But yeah, championships hotting up, and again, you're right, James. You're so right. The creme really rises to this top when you get to Europe and those little Spanish and Italian kids, they just hunt thousands of laps around those joints and they just know them off the back. And they are different style of circuits.
Yeah.
Like, they've got the same sort of corners and traditional motorcycle circuits. That I mean, I know Kevin Swans was, you know, involved in designing that circuit, but it would have been designed more for cars in the long run.
For sure. And it's always going to be.
Yeah, and the Thai Buriram's probably similar. Like, it's three long straights. Like, it's not a very MotoGP-like either. So, yeah. Where are we next?
Qatar. You know, there's a hot Asian lady in White Lotus.
Yeah, I don't watch that show.
I haven't watched it either. But anyway, I got forcefully shown.
How are you going to bring this back to MotoGP? I'd love to know. Go on.
I'm about to. Forcefully shown how good looking she was today. So I was at work and we Wikipedia'd her.
From Buriram. Yeah, there you go.
And I was like,
putting it on the map.
Because Ari is right. They're all from there.
Oh, yeah, true. He didn't show up to the party. He didn't show up to the party. Matty, who went to Thailand with, the game was huge. Like, the game was massive and then just didn't do anything, did he?
I got nervous.
Yeah. All right, Moto 3. All right, so Moto 3, our boy. All right, Rueda. Dominated in the end. Yep. Really did. Got the W. Well done. And he looks really strong this year.
Yeah.
That Aki-Io lineup looks really good, as always. Joel Kelso, first ever dry podium. Congratulations, mate. We're really proud. And level up MTA, Batali third. So they had a double podium. Good on them. Angel Piqueras fourth. Maximo Koalas.
Quiles. Was it pronounced Quiles? I can't remember.
So he led the first couple of laps and looked really, really good. And he is our performance of the week.
Yeah, look, let's share it with him and Joel Kelso. Joel Kelso deserves it as well, I think. Just 100% thinking about it.
Yeah. Carpe 6, Foggia 7th, old boy. Jesus. Adrian Kirkes, 8th. Tayo Furusato, 9th. Nice. And Cormac Buchanan, our boy, New Zealander.
Hey, the Kiwi, shout out.
Top 10 first time, well done, mate. So 15th, 14th, and then 10th. So he's improving every race. So
good on him, that's
shout
awesome.
Shout out to Cormac. What a name for a MotoGP, like right? Cormac Buchanan.
Oh, like, that's a name.
That is a name.
That's a
racist
name.
Yeah, I love that. But yeah, what do you know about Maximo?
So, Quiles, whatever his name is, he trains with the Marquez brothers.
So it's pronounced Quiles.
Quiles.
Max Quiles.
So he trains with the Marquez brothers, and the Marquez brothers are like his rider manager.
Yeah, I've heard about this. The other thing you got to understand, they had no dry running time on Friday.
Mm.
So he's come on, had one practice session, qualified the top five.
Second.
And then raced and then led the first two laps. That's like... bloody can on Tuesday.
I was waiting Valencia. For you to say that. Just don't do the rest.
Yeah, what a wasted opportunity that's been. Jesus. I had him for the championship the following year. Did nothing. And then went to the Turkey Supersport. Jesus. They can't leave the country, these guys. Crazy.
Unless you're top rack,
yeah.
Yeah, like Keenan Sofoglu, shout out.
True. But yeah, sensation. And that's going to be really exciting. Is he in for the whole year? He just didn't do the first two races
because he's too young.
He had to turn 17 and then get a special pass into it. So yeah, that's going to be exciting for the year. And I love this when they have this new talent in and they just like dominate from the start because like, you know, they're going to be something.
Well, if they're training up the two Marquez boys.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Scary thought.
So what, I'm assuming Spanish, but...
Yeah.
But just such a weird Spanish name, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Quiles.
Yeah, Quiles. So, yeah, looking forward to him.
That's a racing name as well, actually.
Maximus Quiles.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is cool. I like that.
It's a good name.
One more to go for you, Joly Kelso, this year. I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
Just is there or thereabouts, and he got a comfortable second.
Smart ride. Didn't have to take too many risks.
And it just helps for him when he's just not in a pack and just getting passed on the straights. And he actually did a double pass at the end of the back straight to get into second. And I thought that was super, super cool because he just, I don't know what it is, but he just struggles in a straight line. So maybe this new KDM is going to suit him better. But from all reports, it's a pretty good bike.
I'm happy for him. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And he suits the cowboy hat. You see him in the cowboy hat?
Yeah, you see Walt Marinello in there? Fuck, he got it every... He tried to get it...
He was the umbrella.
But good on him. He got some good footage. And fancy being there with your best mate when he got his first dry podium.
That's cool.
So, so cool. And
that's awesome.
Shout out to the Foo Sports boys. And he was there with Foo Sports, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Marinello. Because I remember us talking to Bruce about that. He goes, he just kept asking me and asking me. He goes, all right, you can come to Kona.
That's cool.
So it was, that was pretty cool.
They're cool guys out in Foo Sport.
But yeah, they are. They are. Jump on board, boys. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's get it going.
Buy their boots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. Well,
I've got a couple questions for you.
I got one for you. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll start.
Go for it.
Do you think that Jorge Martin deserved this a pre-Qatar test? Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I heard he got denied it, did he?
If you had to make the decision, what would your answer
but
be?
So Aprilia have come out and said they want for him to have a pre-Qatar test.
Yeah.
So he rides around on the track by himself a week before the race.
Yeah, I don't know what track. It could be
anywhere. Yeah. Anywhere. So are they limited to testing time on the current bike?
They would be, yeah, definitely, because they don't have concessions.
And they can't test last... Can he ride on last year's bike?
I don't know. I don't know. But I feel like if you're going to be putting him on a bike, he needs to be on the current spec bike.
I feel like they're not allowed to ride MotoGP bikes at all, because they're always training on 1,000...
Yeah. Yeah, they're not. It's very... regulated.
Yeah.
But going back to the question.
No, he shouldn't be allowed. It's his fault to get injured, and it's not. There can't be special regulations for him just because he's injured. No, that's fair enough.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Yeah, definitely. He just shouldn't have. He made two fundamental errors in testing, and it's cost him the chance of another world championship. Yeah. Simple as that. So
I feel so sorry for him. He's so humble when he speaks. He really is.
Mm.
And it's just the errors that it's annoying. It's annoying for the title.
I don't feel sorry for him. He's a world champion. He's always going to have that.
He is.
He's in the prime of his career, I know, but he made mistakes and he's got to wear it and fight on from here. And if he comes out and he wins a race this year, I think that's going to be a massive plus, but I don't see him doing much more than that.
Don't you want to like... Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Don't you want to like... Would love to know how he would be going if he was fully fit. Tested that bike.
Well, I'm gonna get
had those injuries.
We're gonna jump onto F1 shortly, but I'm excited, and this is the comparison. We're gonna see Liam Lawson in a Red Bull the first two rounds, and we're gonna see Yuki Tsunoda from then. When do we ever get to see two guys compete in the exact same car who had the chance to race in the like? You never get to see that unless you're playing PlayStation and you do a team swap. So. It's so... You'll never get to see it. Mm. And you never can have anything that's comparison. He's always going to be on the back foot all year as well. It's a thing. He's missed out on testing. He's missed out on the first three Grand Prix. It's always going to be... And that's always going to be the excuse. So, yes, I'd love to see it. But, you know, we have to wait another year for it now.
Yeah. One more question for you.
Go on.
Do you think the days... Well, there's a lot of Top Rack talk going about a GP. Do you think the days of World Superbikes, World Superbike riders to MotoGP are gone?
Mm. Yeah, is the difference just too much? Is it just a different pathway now because Moto3, Moto2 so strong? It's
definitely a different pathway. Like the pathway was Superbikes to MotoGP.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of
riders It's not anymore.
Definitely not anymore. No. Different circuits, I get that. Top Rack's obviously an amazing talent. But like they didn't. Johnny Ray got like fifth on a Repsol Honda when he raced as a wild card.
Yeah,
and they still didn't put him on, and they were only going to give him non-factory rides. So, do you think that pathway is non-existent now?
I don't think it's non-existent. I think that the rider who has the talent isn't going to go through the superbike pathway. If he's got the young talent, he's going to go straight to Moto3 and then he's locked into that pathway to Moto2, MotoGP.
You win three world titles in a row in World Superbikes.
Yeah.
I don't think you're getting a factory deal from anyone in MotoGP.
What about, I can't never pronounce his name, but Nicholas
Bulliger.
Bulliger. He's going really well,
yeah.
Obviously.
Wasn't the Grand Prix.
Did...
I think he won Mugello on a Moto3 or Moto2, but didn't live up to the hype.
Is he ever coming back?
No.
It's like, you look at our boy who went from Super Sport to Moto2 this year. Huertas,
yeah.
Not doing much, but has to learn the bike. He would have jumped at that opportunity because he would want to be in that MotoGP paddock.
I think that's a different avenue, and I think you can make something out of that. Like Manu Gonzalez, he came from Supersport 300 to Moto 2, and now look at him.
Yep.
But from...
Once you're a rider in superbikes and you're a world championship contender, you're stuck.
Which is so crazy to say because that's when you should be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like we're talking about, you know, Supersport 600, Supersport 300 guys going over. But the days of world superbike riders going over to MotoGP, like your Bayliss's, your Colin Edwards, you know, Toesland went over. You know, there's plenty of others. Wayne Rainey and Schwantz wasn't necessarily world superbikes, but superbike championships.
Yep.
I think they're gone. And I think you could be a three-time world champion in world superbikes, like Johnny Ray, who's now five-time, I think he ended up being, but you won't get a ride.
Yeah, well, Johnny Ray's a classic example. That guy was unbeatable in superbikes, and like he had that wild card opportunity. And I remember always saying to you, like, James, like, why isn't he in MotoGP? Like, he's dominating, and just never happened.
The risk.
And if anyone was going to happen, it would have been him.
Yeah,
it would. And the same with Top Rank. If it's anyone's going to happen nowadays, it has to be Top Rank because first of all, brings eyes and ears to the sport, and talented and also charismatic.
Yeah.
Will bring the Turkish support, like
sponsors.
Like, this is the
more
guy.
More than Johnny Ray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he's sellable, this guy. Like, he is sellable. Like, he'll have fans automatically as soon as he goes to that paddock.
People want him there.
Yeah. And we'll see what Honda do. I mean, it's an interesting... We talked about this last week. I mean, do they use their concessions for a rider who is a superbike rider? And I don't know why he'd ride a Honda anyway. It's just a weird thing. So
the risk to reward is obviously too big for these GP teams.
Yeah. Yes. But that's a good point.
Like, you know, do you... I hate saying it, but like, I think he would be quicker than Chantra on a Honda.
Yeah, I think so. I think, but Chantra's there for the...
Oh, we know, I know.
Talk about a mannequin or a, you know... What do they call you're behind them doing like you're doing the movements for them, whatever it's called,
like a ventriloquist.
Yeah, that's what he Chantra is for the Idemitsu. You know what I'm saying? He's a puppet for Idemitsu. Just before we jump into hot takes, I just wanted to quickly talk about F1.
Oh, we got to talk about this. We had a lengthy discussion. Last week.
I can't believe this has happened. So Lawson, I'm sure everyone knows this at home, but. But for our MotoGP listeners, Lawson, two races into his Red Bull factory career, gets swapped out for Yuki Tsunoda in the sister team. Honda's paid reportedly between €10 and €20 million for this to happen. And Yuki is going to that factory Red Bull seat and he for his home Grand Prix in Suzuka. So talk about pressure and talk about... You know, and it's going to be an interesting race. For a human being point of view, horrible thing to happen to Lawson.
Terrible situation.
But for a viewer, it's going to be super exciting to see what he can do on a racing ball, what Yuki can do on a Red Bull. So as a viewer, I sort of am excited. And that's why I touched on this earlier. I'm saying to you that you never get to see this comparison of these two. The two guys that were competing for that seat, for one of them to get it, and then for two races later, the other one to get a chance, you don't get to see this in Formula One.
What do you think's going to happen?
Oh, I think that we'll see Lawson stronger than Yuki, and then it might flip sort of halfway through the season.
That's what I think.
Hear this.
He's doing James Shaw.
Hear this. Liam Lawson's 13 race career has just been unbelievable. Unbelievable. What he's been through in his 13 race career, a lot of people wouldn't have been through in a whole career, 300 races.
Yeah.
So he's filled in for Racing Bull. He's been chucked in there. He qualified. He had to go straight in there after Ricciardo broke his hand. Then he thought he was going to get the drive at Red Bull, didn't get it. Then he goes back to the Racing Bull, does a few races, then comes back and then nearly got the drive again at Red Bull, then came back to Racing Bull and then got the factory seat. Two races later, kicked out. All this has happened in his race, 13 races. He's never raced in Australia. Wet race. Qualified terribly, raced terribly.
Mm.
But hard to pass. Never raced in China. Sprint weekend. Only had an hour of practice. And a car that he doesn't know too well. And he's kicked out. It's unbelievable.
It's the dumbest situation ever, handled terribly.
Terribly PR disaster for Red Bull.
Yeah.
Disaster.
And it's already pushing shit up a hill with them.
Yeah, and the thing is for them, like, yes, it's going to be all Honda, Yuki, yay, how good this is going to be for Suzuka. But if he doesn't perform, it's just going to look shocking.
That's a hot seat.
We might see Daniel Ricciardo in that seat by the end of the season. He's the only one that can drive a fucking second Red Bull by the sounds of it.
It's just so poorly done. And as you said, as a human, I feel so sorry for the guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's in, like, imagine, like, his family and his friends, and he's like, oh, God, I'm here, guys.
It's bullshit, though.
I'm a factory Red Bull driver, and how good's this? And gets two chances and then kicked. I mean, I
don't like that. I don't like how they can just do that after two races. I get it after a season. I get it.
Yeah.
But two races, it's wrong. It really is. It's not giving anyone a chance.
I remember when Gasly got kicked off half a season, everyone was up in arms about it. This is two races, man. He's never racing the race. I know it's the premium seat in Formula One, but goodness gracious, it's as a human being, I just feel so sorry for Lawson. But the racer in me is excited to see the prospect of them switching and seeing, you know, what happens if they go into turn one together. What's going to happen? You know, so it's
wrong, man. It really is. It's, you know, it's like Alex Rins going into his first year of going to Suzuki or something and then getting kicked out after two rounds.
Yeah.
Becoming 14.
Kick him out now, but
he's had a career now. But it's just wrong.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You just don't see it with any other team.
No, you don't. This is the
problem.
It is. And they've ruined that many careers over the years. And other careers have blossomed. And they've gone to different teams, like, you know, your Carlos Sainz's, your Alex Albon's. They're just all roads lead to Max Verstappen. And rightly so. He's one of the best ever. But as we said last week, in 5 years' time, they could be midfield. And there's a lot of hot takes about that.
Mm.
Mid-pack warriors in without Max Verstappen, they're probably all right, you know. So,
yeah, it's wrong.
Interesting. All right, world famous hot takes, James Shaw. Hey, I think we had a world record amount this week.
There was a lot.
There were so many.
There was a lot.
Goodness, my phone was going off.
Yep, I'm with you. All righty, thank you for everyone writing in. We really appreciate it.
We always love it. We love it. Keep them coming, guys.
It's crazy. Like, people take the time out of the day
to do this. Good on them.
And we do appreciate it. And it's a lot of fun reading them. That's Cameron Rowe 84. If Honda keeps improving, would Acosta take some big money to move to HRC?
There you go. We talked about this.
I think he would. And I think he should go to a Ducati.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and look, now, three races in, seeing the development of the Honda and three of them in the top 10. I mean, Chandra's never going to be in the top 10. So, majority of the riders in the top 10. It's exciting times.
Chandra was behind Savadori, test rider.
Yeah. Mannequin, I told you.
And the Hondas were all fighting for top 10s. The other three were all in the top 10 and Chandra's...
It's a wasted seat.
He's doing worse than what I thought he would be.
And I don't know, these Japanese have so much pull around these things because it's happening now with Red Bull, with Honda. Like, now we've got another brand, we've got another sponsor paying millions of dollars to have the Japanese.
The Japanese, they're ruthless. You've got to keep them on a tight hook, man. Otherwise, they get wayward.
Yeah, well, we saw that in history, didn't we?
Yeah, they get wayward. You've got to, like, keep the anime in front of them. Yeah. That's how they calm them down.
Curtis just...
Picked
up a bit. Yeah, look at him.
Look at the creep. Hey, Curdy. Oh, I keep forgetting to ask this question. Have you used our present?
No.
Oh, come on, man.
I got sent...
Tell us a real answer.
We actually got sent some anime MotoGP stuff for Curtis on our chat.
No.
So shout out.
Did someone put that in?
Yeah, they did. So shout out to them. Thanks for that. Anime style.
This MotoGP doesn't have tentacles.
It was like AI generated.
This is a fairy.
Oh, goodness. We embarrassed him.
Sorry, Curdy.
Go on.
At Lukey Kappa, KTM is the MotoGP equivalent of Toyota in F1.
Oh, goodness.
I like this. And wasn't Toyota on the verge and then the GFC hit?
Yeah, but
correct me if I'm wrong.
No, but I mean, Toyota have never owned
that much millions of dollars to debt collectors and everything. Like, they're the biggest car auto brand in the world.
Let's go performance. Take everything out. Performance.
Yeah, it's hard to compare. Oh, were they really that close to getting there? Like, were they really that close?
Well, okay, take out the three Billy.
Yeah.
They had the riders.
Oh, they had the riders, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But again, James, they've had this bike developed.
But was Toyota that close? That's what I'm going.
Never won a race. Never won a race.
So, like, this is what he's saying is KTM is the equivalent of Toyota and F1.
It's not a bad call. I'll give it to him. Not a bad call.
Yeah.
It's probably more looking at the they nearly had it. You're right, GFC kicked out. And they were awesome to the Toyota cars. Like, I love the look of the white.
One of the best liveries of all time.
Tim O'Glock, not Team O'Glock. I like that one. He was a good fella.
Rest in peace.
Nah, still going. Still kicking.
Le Mans 24 hours.
So I'll tell you a famous story about Team O'Glock. He he was racing in America and wasn't getting any rides or any goes in this car. So he changed
before or after F1?
No, before.
Okay.
So he changed his name from Team O'Glock to Tim O'Glock and got signed straight away.
Really?
Because they're like, oh, another European. We
German?
Don't want
him. Is he German? Sounds true.
Yeah, I think so. Something along the lines of that.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then got it straight away, forged his way into F1 from there.
Wow. That's a great story.
Mm.
Every time I think of F1 Toyota, I think of
Ralph Schumacher.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton famously passed Team O'Glock into the last corner of the last lap of the last race of the season to win the championship in 2008. And I always thought that he got paid off and...
Conspiracy,
yeah.
Wouldn't surprise
Timo Glock come up a lot, actually. Come up a lot. Actually, he big crash last corner Hockenheim after the infield section.
Hockenheim Austin or Hockenheim no, Hockenheim?
Hockenheim.
Just going to clarify for the viewers.
Not synthetic Hockenheim, full Hockenheim.
What's the synthetic off again? What was that?
That was synthetic CU. Yeah, that was the...
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
That cannot be repeated.
Yeah, so big crash, rear... People are like, what, listening? Like, why the fuck are they talking about this? Last corner hit, rear shock failure, span massive crash into the pit straight, concrete wall.
That's scary.
Go on.
Next, I'm Lukey Kappa, that's a great hot take, though.
Go on.
At Jack_Harney, $100 says Liam Lawson... beats Yuki in Japan.
Yeah, I see it. Thomas I think if he gets a solid rain forecast as well.
Bro, Japan. Yeah. When does it not rain there?
They love it. So if rain forecast. Let's see. I mean, I remember seeing Kobayashi back in the day in a BMW Sauber putting into third place at his home Grand Prix. That was cool. Let's see. We'll see if something happens like that. Wait and see.
I love it. At Aaron NWJN. Would you rather see pure dominance from Mark or a really close battle between them?
Of course. I mean, I think deep down, you would like to see utter dominance and he'd win every single race.
No, not deep down. I will happily admit that. But I would only want to see it for a season.
Yeah.
But I would love to see
it. I think for the podcast, I think it's probably better if we had a nice close championship because everyone will stay interested. So I'll go with that answer.
Yeah. Which the real answer means you'd want to see dominance, knowing you.
I love to agree with you, but they would both be wrong.
That's Ivan_Vicken_99. I must be a cheeseburger fan. What do you think is next?
Big?
No, 99. Is he big? What a going in. What do you think is next for Enea and Maverick, as it seems they are both trying to leave after the season? Let me add on to this question. If you're a team owner, would you pick up Maverick Vinales?
No, I think what will happen, they'll stay at that team.
Because they got nowhere else to go.
And Tech 3 will just be with another manufacturer.
If KTM loses a
point. So if they go to Yamaha, they go to Ducati, they go to Aprilia, whatever it is, they're two... solid riders, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Two solid riders, and they've probably got contracts, multi-year contracts. So I think they have to probably look at staying at that team. I don't think any team manufacturer is going to pick them up. So I'm sure Vinales must come with some sponsorship money. He's just signed for every manufacturer. convincingly, even after he's revved the engine out, even after the results he's had, but he's always found a seat. It's same as Morbidelli's the same. I mean, I know it's the Italian mafia, but like they always seem to find seats.
Yes. There's been no real murmurs about KTM though in their future.
No, it's sort of I believe they're
which is no news is good news.
Sticking around.
Yeah, that's what I think, to be honest. I think Bastianini's got a lot more potential, but I don't know where they've got nowhere to go at the moment. Everyone's flying their colours.
With Bastianini, it needs to be a 5-lap race and they're all on 20-lap year old tires and he starts from pole. Then he'll do really well.
Yeah, you've never bought into the hype.
I mean, I know the late race pace is great, but you need the complete package to be a world champion. He's not the complete package.
He was a podium contender every race, last year.
Oh, not every race. He won...
Let's say 85% of the races.
Yeah, 85% of the races, yeah.
He's nowhere near a podium contender now. That's the difference.
Yeah. Well, that's how good the Ducati is, though. It makes everyone look good.
Yeah. Yep. Good point. Difficult names. That's Bin Majid 68.
Ooh, one off.
How good do you think Jorge Martin will be when he comes back?
I don't think that good. I think he's missed out on too much running.
I think he'd be struggling for top fives.
Yeah, me too. Like on the bike. They've had six races, all testing. They've had so much running. I think, every track we go to is a mystery, obviously, when we get there. And you see that there's been some different results midfield. But yeah, I don't see him going amazingly well, no. I see him, it's probably more the second half of the year.
Yep. Yep, no, I definitely agree.
Concur?
I definitely agree. I actually can't even see him winning a race this year, if I'm going to be honest.
Mm.
I don't know what that'll
be. No, I think he'll win one. I got him for one.
What do you got him at?
Like 10 to 1, are you saying?
No,
like,
what track,
which
sorry?
Which track? I don't know.
If he's going to win one, I knew you were going to say that. At D Silver 87S, Grayson, Ohio.
Ohio!
Is he from Ohio?
Yeah,
he asks this question every time.
Yeah. Drayson's OG, man.
He's OG. We love our American.
There's no other person named Drayson anywhere in the world apart from Ohio.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
There's like 8,000 Draysons just in Ohio. Laguna Seca over Coda. Coda has all the facilities, but none of the vibes. Laguna Seca has all the vibes, but none of the facilities.
I would be interested to see if Drayson...
I think he was there.
He was.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fair. That's a great take then. Because for me, it looked still vibey.
I still think it would be a very cool Grand Prix to go to.
Yeah, media center looked good.
No bento boxes there, but what are they
going to go? No, brisket. Brisket.
Oh, Pizza Hut.
Yeah. Hot dogs.
Like Kobayashi.
Oh, yeah. goodness.
The seats would be like twice as wide for all the awesome. Fat media Americans.
Oh, they would be. That's sick. We'll have to go next year.
We got to go. That's a bucket list one.
And everyone said to us when we went to the Thailand vlog, everyone's like, you got to come to Coda. Like, we had like five messages. You got to come to Coda. Like, that's where we got to go.
Like more than five, I reckon. Yeah, my phone was flooded. At Mexican 17. Do you reckon he's Mexican?
Hope so.
Liam isn't the problem. It's the Red Bull car. It's built around Max's driving style. $50 now. Liam beats Yuki.
We're taking his tips. Tommy's tips. I think it's been all over the media, hasn't it? And
so it's the Red Bull car over.
Yeah, it's just a very sensitive, twitchy front end car, and they just can't develop it. And Alex Albon went on a podcast and spoke about it. He goes, it's like when you're playing a video game like Call of Duty and you put the sensitivity up to 12. Mm. That's what it's like. And all the good players have a higher sensitivity, but it's too hard to learn it when it's such a unique driving style of Max's.
Let's add on to this. Jim's Mowing at Jim's Mowing Queensland.
Oh, he's back.
He's back, baby. He was off us for a bit.
Yeah.
Max is in a similar position that Mark was in at Honda, outperforming the machinery.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's true. It's true. That Red Bull car is probably, I'm going to say top five cars. It's probably the fifth fastest car. I'm going to say the Racing Bulls is probably a quicker car. Yeah.
Well, you're going to find out this weekend.
Cream rises this weekend.
Home ground advantage from Yuki, though.
Yeah, but Liam Lawson has done that many laps around Suzuka.
Doesn't matter.
Super Formula. I'm telling you. I know he won't have the home ground advantage, but the Japanese, they're very supportive. There won't be any booing going on.
Oh God, no! Japanese love supporting like a random driver.
Fernando Alonso.
Yeah,
yeah. They're like fanatical.
Fanatical about like a Tony Arbolino.
Yeah. It's crazy. It is. It's funny.
And they're like, they don't get the Japanese pride. Like they like, you know, dressing up an Italian flag or an Aussie flag.
There's always that guy in the full Ducati kit.
Yeah, they got the hats. They like the hats. I like the Japanese.
They're great
fans.
They are really good fans. I'm going to Japan in bloody 4 weeks. I should have changed the bloody trip. It would have been awesome to be at the F1s, but
yeah, you messed up there.
I got
a
cheap flight, so that's probably why.
That's what got you.
Always does.
And let's add on to this again. Our boy and something special coming up with Special Ed 11.
Yes.
What's tougher, being Marc Marquez's teammate or Verstappen's teammate?
Yeah, they're probably on par, aren't they?
I think Verstappen. Because you're Marc Marquez's teammates, yes, it sucked, but they kept their rides. Where?
Yeah.
Yeah, how many... What's his name? Gasly, halfway through the season.
Yeah.
And Lawson two races in.
The only thing that I'm going to say about that is I think Marquez, his charisma and all the things that goes with him has just brought that team around him. And they absolutely, like, they seem to be celebrating big with him. They seem to be having such a good time with him. Then you sort of see Bagnaia in the background where Max is a team person. But for me, I think he'd probably leave it in an evening, wouldn't really care too much about saying goodbye, that sort of thing. Well, I think really, like, Mark really, like, puts himself into the team. But I don't know how that makes a difference for your teammate. But just interesting.
So what would you rather be? Like, what's tougher, sorry?
Probably Max is tougher. Yeah. Max is just ruthless.
Yeah. But it's not his fault.
No. But it's a killer mentality. They both got it.
Yeah.
It's a killer mentality.
It's like that footage of Perez when he's stuck in exiting pit lane in Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
And Max just goes screaming past in the grass.
Yeah, we shared that, didn't we? Yeah.
That's great.
It's true. And that's the different mentality. It's like Perez moving over to let Max win and then he didn't repay the favor. He's like, why should I let him win?
Vettel did that as well, didn't he?
He did.
That's you were different. Pissed off then. Oh, I remember that.
That German. Switching.
But that's just the difference. Mate, that's all our... one last one, actually. Special one. That's A. Cooper, 1986. New Christian Horner sex scandal comes out just to take the pressure off him for the Lawson Sonoda swap.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good. That sort of fizzled out quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, he paid the media off.
God, there's something to do with that. But
Helmut Marko, I think, said some racist comments about someone that same week. So
doing the team a favour.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I'll do it.
Yeah,
he's like, what do you mean? I need a reason to do it.
Guys, Suzuka, 2 p.m. Sunday. So friendly time slot. Not so friendly for us, to be honest with you. We prefer the 10 p.m.s, but. We'll be back here next Monday night. And guys, we're going to film our Patreon next. So jump over to Patreon and subscribe to that if you want to see some more content.
Yes, that will be coming out probably like Wednesday, Thursday.
Beautiful. Thanks, Jimmy boy.
Thanks, man.